Hello, I'm Ruby Ryder, and I would like to welcome you to Pegging Paradise podcast number 224 on November 6th, 2018. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you'd like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. And those are all pegging stories, you guys. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the support my work button on my website. And there's another way to support my work. That's through enticeme.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. Entice Me offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Just go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's RYDER. If you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you and your partner, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of Entice Me. You'll be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. Woohoo! All right, let's do a patron update.
Yes.
I have one new patron. Joseph is now my patron for $5 a month. Joseph, thank you so much for your generosity. I really appreciate it. And now I'm going to go through all of the different Movember donations, because remember, I am raising money to help spread awareness and fight testicular cancer, prostate cancer, and also mental health and suicide prevention for men. We talked about this before, and I'm still doing it. As a matter of fact, if you go over to my Movember site, and of course there'll be a link in the Linkorama for that, you will see another badly drawn mustache on that same smiling face of me. And I plan to switch them out in my Movember space there. My Mo space, as they call it. I plan to draw lots of bad mustaches on that face. The other thing I've been doing at my Mo space is recording how many miles I do on the elliptical every day. I've gone every single day since the first. And I'm also posting a number of, as I promised, unflattering, sweaty face pictures with no makeup. This is a first for me, you guys. I don't post this kind of stuff. I don't post this kind of stuff because I don't want it out there. So if you're wondering what I look like for reals without all the makeup and the hair done just right, right after I get out of the gym at 6 or 7 in the morning, there you go. You will find the pictures there. So let's talk about all of the amazing generosity that you guys have shown this Movember cause of mine. I did mention last week that I got $25 from Will. He was my very first donation. And I did start exercising then and recording my mileage. So I kind of cheated, sort of, because I also have a mileage goal for the month. So I did start early and I'm taking that into consideration. But the reason I mentioned Will again is because he wrote something that I wanted to read to you that he included with his donation. Cancer is no joke, and early detection can lead to a long, healthy life. Let's show cancer how it feels to be kicked square in the jimmy. I love that, and I totally agree. So going on with the donations here, I got $25 from Steven, who wrote, "Thank you for doing this, Ruby." I got $25 from Michael, who wrote, "Great work, Ruby." I got $25 from Mark. I got $100 from Wonder Dog. I love that name. $25 from Abel. $100 from Leslie, who wrote, "Thank you for bringing this to my attention, Ruby." And $15 from Trudy, who wrote, "Way to go, Ruby." And all of those add up to be $340. And so I've increased my goal from $500 to $750, which means that I am 45% there already. Because, I mean, goodness, this is only the fifth, and I've already raised $340. So I felt confident in increasing my goal to $750. I spent a little time on their website to see, you know, who are the big fundraisers and how far away I was, because I was pretty impressed with how much money you guys donated to the Movember people. It's pretty amazing. And in the United States, I think they have the top, I'm not sure how many it was. It looked like around 25 people. And you can also separate it out by gender. So I looked at the top 25 women fundraisers, and the lowest one, not the highest one, but the lowest one of that list was like 1,200 and something. So it's a little ways away from where I am, but I'm really impressed with all the different stuff they have on the website. It's pretty damn cool. I am so appreciative to all of you people who have donated to the Movember cause, and I'm going to be in that gym every single day unless something serious prevents it. And I'm having a really good time at the gym, actually. The 60-mile monthly goal, I've already changed that to 80 because, like I mentioned, I had a head start. I think I started on the 23rd, which was when I got my first donation from Will. So far I've gone 29.97 miles, which is 36% of the 80-mile goal I have. I'm clearly going to reach that 80-mile goal. And when I do, I'll increase it to 100 as soon as I hit it. And I'll just keep going because I probably will do at least 2.5 miles a day. So that's going to add up pretty quick. But there might be some times where I hang out there for a while and do like 4 miles or something because I'm enjoying that quite a bit. I have a song list, actually, that I play, which you can access. I have Spotify, so for any of you who wonder what kind of music Ruby works out to when she's there on that elliptical getting all sweaty and helping to raise money for Movember, that playlist on Spotify, you can find it by finding Ruby Rider and then looking for the playlist Kick It Harder, okay? And I actually put my logo on there of me riding the dildo, so it should be fairly easy to spot if it's me or not. And you can listen to it. I made it shareable. It's totally cool. As a matter of fact, I was asked what kind of music I work out to by one of the guys on the chat channel. And it's funny because we shared workout lists, you know, because he's on Spotify too, and he had music that he worked out to. And about, I don't know, 90% of it I wasn't interested in, but I found a couple of gems in there. He tended a little bit more toward like the heavy metal kick it type of stuff, and I'm like the classic rock kick it stuff. But it was really fun to kind of check it out and go, wow, this is what you like to work out to. So Spotify can be fun in that way. Okay, so that is the Movember update, everybody. Yes. So now I have some really interesting news for you. I was recently contacted by a casting producer who is working on an 8-episode docuseries about human sexuality and sexual culture. I don't know what network it's for or any other information because that's confidential at this point, but she reached out to me hoping to gather some information about my area of expertise for possible inclusion in the documentary. So as many of you know, and some of you don't, I was on an episode of Comedy Central's Not Safe with Nikki Glaser a couple of years ago. That was a totally wild ride, and it was rather time intensive, but the segment came out well, considering it was a comedy show. Of course, I'll put a link in the Linkorama for those of you who have not seen it. It's not that long, and it's pretty damn funny. So as soon as I got this email, I went ahead and called the producer back, and we actually had a great conversation. In this situation, I really welcome the chance to spread the word about pegging. Of course, I always welcome that. But especially because she told me the show intends to take the subject seriously. You know, this isn't a comedy thing. So, okay, this is all exciting and everything, but why am I telling you guys this? Well, because in film and TV land, people start talking about it long before anything comes out for public consumption. And I'm telling you because they're not just interested in talking to me, they're looking for people who would like to be in the documentary as well. So as far as like contacts through me, what they seek ideally are couples who are new to pegging, real recently did it for the first time, and they'd like to talk with them about their experiences. So, you know, we talked a bit about this, and I told her in the general public, pegging is still pretty taboo. It's still pretty misunderstood. So she gets that finding people to talk about their pegging experiences in front of a camera might be a tad difficult. But I told her I'd announce it on my podcast and post it around the community to see if I could help spread the word. And I also suggested to her that perhaps some creative filming that preserves anonymity might increase the chances of finding willing participants. Like if you're, you know, looking at a part of their body holding a coffee cup and you hear their voice talking, but you never see their face or something like that. But of course, that's completely up to the network. And what, you know, what I really want here is one more film offering accurate information about pegging. That's the outcome I'm hoping for. So if anyone's interested, you're going to find the contact information for this producer in the links. And, you know, if this is something you would consider, go for it and help us spread the word. She also sent me the flyer that the network gave them to try and work on casting people to be in this docuseries. I'll read it to you. It's pretty short. An award-winning production company is now casting a groundbreaking new documentary series that intimately explores the provocative and exhilarating worlds of human sexuality, from dating and mating, to pleasure-seeking, to all forms and expressions of the pursuit of erotic physical bliss. We are currently seeking individuals, couples, or groups who want to share their journey and sexual adventures openly and honestly for a forthcoming documentary series. And then it says, please email, blah, 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 your name, contact information, photo, and your story. So there you go. If you have any aspiring docuseries stars, I'm just thrilled that they're interested enough and brave enough to include it in a documentary series. I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled. And wouldn't it be cool if one of the listeners of Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast ended up being stars of this documentary in the segment about pegging? That would be just the coolest thing ever. I'd have to have some kind of an online party or something to celebrate that. That would be totally awesome. But there you have it. Okay, so that is that information. Use it as you will. And then I just want to tell you a little bit about what I did this weekend. On Sunday, I was honored to be invited to a femdom tea. Well, what did that look like? We were asked to dress nicely, wear frocks and hats, and there were several fascinators, I believe they're called, which are funny little hats that sit on the side of your head that stay on with hair bands and things. Lots of beautiful dresses and dressed up women. And then the men were there serving us. And the men looked so sharp. Oh my goodness, there were suits and ties and vests, and they all looked really sharp, and the service was excellent. They totally pampered us. We just kind of sat around. They served us tea. They served us all kinds of delicious edibles that were sort of snacky, and then lots of desserts and things, and then a few foot massages were happening. I felt quite relaxed and pampered the entire time. And like I do, I took notice of a couple of the servers that caught my eye and sent them messages, of course, because, you know, Ruby's a bit of a hunter. Ruby likes the young men. And they had a drawing as well. They had a few prizes and things, which were really fun. And I just wanted to tell you, I mean, this whole story I'm sharing partly because it's a fun thing that I did on Sunday, but also because I won the coolest prize. It's hysterical. So it's a can, and it's a can of spotted dick. I had no idea that spotted dick existed. It is a sponge cake, and then it has, okay, this is the description. Traditional, moist, lightly spiced, steamed pudding with sultanas. So sultanas are raisins, right? What it looks like is this wonderful sponge cake with sultanas, and then this pudding stuff that you pour over the top. And I did notice that the can said open this side first. So I believe it holds everything I need in there. It's got the cake, it's got the pudding and the whole deal. So I'm excited. But of course, I'm really excited about it being called Spotted Dick Sponge. So I posted a picture of it on FetLife, and some other guy, he said, yeah, Heinz makes that too. And he linked to a picture of the Heinz can of Spotted Dick. And he said the guy in the store gave him a pretty weird look when he walked in and asked for Spotted Dick. But I said that I was quite pleased to know there was a variety of Spotted Dick to choose from, right? Spotted Dick Sponge. And this is Simpsons, the one that I got. It says Simpsons established 1910. Premium quality Spotted Dick Sponge. There you go. So, okay, there's your entertainment for the beginning of the podcast. And now let's jump into your letters. This one, I am so thrilled to be able to read you. This is a great listen. So here we go. The subject was our second experience from my point of view. And I'm going to explain a little bit and then read his intro as well. So this is this couple's second experience, and he's telling the story, but he's telling the story of it in the form of kind of writing a letter to her, which he is sharing with us. So just so you're not confused, it's like he's talking all about what they did, but he's addressing her. Hi, Ruby. Brian here. This happened 3 weeks ago, told from my point of view to her. It was an amazing experience, and I have to admit it took me some time to actually verbalize it. It was so mind-blowing. Just remembering and thinking about how passionate and how gentle and loving it was warms me and turns me on completely. So here is what he wrote. I debated telling this story about our second time together due to its personal nature and, of course, the stigma associated with this kind of play. A long time ago, I discovered that by stimulating my prostate, I could have massive, incredible orgasms. It took me weeks, perhaps months, to ask you, and when I did, I was so scared that you would think badly of me. You made my first time experience wonderful. I thought honestly that maybe it was a one-and-done scenario. We tried it, I loved it, but I didn't know if you would want to again. This time, as we began making love, you told me the next time we are together, I am going to fuck you. I could barely contain my excitement as we laid there afterward. I had to ask if you were serious. You said that you were, and smiled coyly at me. Fast forward to the longest, most agonizing week in history. The anticipation. The purchasing of a Tantus Charmer, your new purple girl cock. A new harness, which was a sport sheets. I waited for you anxiously. When you arrived, I kissed you hard and deeply. We made love gently and rough, being extremely careful not to orgasm. I went down on you, starving for your taste, and did not come up for air until you were coming down, trembling from your own orgasm. You asked me if I was ready to be taken. I said yes. You told me to tell you what I wanted. I told you, please fuck me. You smiled so big. We got you into your harness, lubed up myself and your new cock, and I thought to myself how beautiful you looked, how hot and powerful and sexy. I laid back on the bed. I wanted you on top first. As you entered me so achingly slowly, you had such a sexy little smile. You began to move tenderly, hands roaming all over me, as the sensation of fullness and my prostate being gently massaged sent ripples of pure ecstasy throughout my entire body. When our eyes met, I pulled you to me, my eyes closing and rolling into the back of my head in pure bliss. I wrapped my legs around you as I moaned and groaned while we kissed. We found a rhythm, and I heard you moan a little. I could not control myself. In this moment, I felt so vulnerable, so full of pleasure. I felt totally at your mercy and totally connected to you. Our speed intensified, so I asked to change positions. I got on my hands and knees, and again, you sent me into the stratosphere. You laid on my back, rubbing me, kissing my shoulders and hips. I felt your breasts against my back. Every thrust, I found myself pushing back, pre-cum pouring from me with every stroke. I had several small waves of orgasmic bliss. All I could say was, I love you, fuck me, baby, I love you. As you were gleefully fucking me with abandon, I somehow managed to form a conscious thought. I wanted to come for you, in you. I asked you to stop. You did. I felt you withdraw from within me, my body slightly protesting. You laid down on your back, so sexy, so beautiful, even with the harness still on. I entered you like a madman. You were so wet and inviting, so hot to the senses, my intent only in devouring your kisses, filling you with my essence. We changed positions. You turned onto your tummy as I got behind you. I entered you, kissing your shoulders. So much thrusting, I could no longer contain it. When I finally released into you, I was seeing stars, my breath ragged and heavy when climax took me. I was no longer in my body, as throb after throb happened to my cock. It felt like hours and hours. No mere orgasm. This never happened before. I have never been higher in my life. I collapsed on top of you, rolling over. All I could do was kiss you and say I love you. We gently cuddled. You gave me something that day that I have never had before. I felt vulnerable, connected to you, loved by you, appreciated, cared for. I could not thank you enough then, nor will I ever be able to verbalize it. It was more than a fantasy to be checked off. It was an act of pure, beautiful giving between two lovers. Oh my, I'm going to cry. Wow. Brian, that's amazing. And it's so well written. You drew such an incredible picture of exactly what happened, and you described your emotions so well for us. That is absolutely beautiful. Definitely got the tears happening, yes. Oh, I'm so happy for you too. Oh my gosh. This is such a great description of the vulnerability that I know is possible. The vulnerability that comes as a surprise to many a man when the path of pegging is walked down and that adventure happens. It definitely takes many men by surprise. The last part of what you wrote about being appreciated and cared for reminds me of something I hear from men a fair amount about how they crave feeling like they are seduced and they feel pretty and they feel admired and appreciated and, like you say, cared for. Because many times that's their job and they have not experienced that in the reverse. And that is something that pegging can offer, should your partner approach it that way. And it sounds like she did. Love the little coy smiles. Yes. Absolutely beautiful. And then finishing in her, how wonderful that you had a harness that allowed that. That is one of the things I talk about in choosing harnesses, because the Jacques harness, as well as that style of sport sheets one that you have, allows for penetration of the vagina because it doesn't cover the vulva area as much. Ideally, if it fits right, it will be over the clitoral area, but still the vagina is accessible and able to be penetrated. And that certainly worked out well for you two. Goodness. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, here is a quick one that I got on Facebook. Would you recommend the Fieldo? Just curious. And this is from James. And that's an easy question, James. No, I would not. Here are the criticisms of the Fieldo. The Fieldo was actually developed for lesbian sex, and more lesbians can use it strapless to make love to their partner because you've got vaginal muscles holding in a toy and then penetrating and competing against vaginal muscles, right? But it does not work so well for pegging, partly because anal sphincters are stronger than vaginal muscles, so you can't hold it in. But, you know, I digress, basically, that because that part is all about the it's not strapless. But let me continue on. Because it was developed for lesbians, the angle is slightly different because vagina to vagina is different than vagina to ass. There is also a rigidity in the Fieldo line that does not allow for a whole lot of bending if you are to change positions and use the toy in a different manner. So the missionary position, you know, probably works great, but basically the connector point between what goes in him and what goes in her doesn't really flex a whole lot. So it limits the number of comfortable positions that you have an option for. There are also options for vibes in some of their models, but the placement of that hole for the vibe is not really very good, so it doesn't work very well. That's the second complaint. The third complaint is just that it's too hard. Receivers complain that it's too rigid. It's just simply too hard, and it doesn't feel good inside them. So no, I wouldn't recommend the Fieldo at all. I would absolutely, however, recommend the Fuse Tango. That would be my favorite double. You still cannot use it strapless, and I'm going to link to the article that I wrote for Tantus, who actually makes the Fieldo. They were kind enough to give me a voice and talk about how strapless, so-called strapless strap-ons are not really strapless. The name of the article is The Truth About Strapless Strap-Ons. It first appeared in the blog educational section over at Tantus. I gave them an exclusive for a couple of months, and then I spread it around as far and as wide as I could, because what was happening was people really thought these were strapless, and about 95%+ of women cannot hold them in adequately when they're doing pegging. So then these people would have failure in their first attempt, and then they would show up at my website and say, what did we do wrong? So now I just send them the link to that article. I'm going to put that in there in case you thought that your partner could hold it in without a harness. You will definitely need a harness, but getting back to my favorite double, since I don't call them strapless strap-ons, I call them doubles, it's the Fuse Tango, F-U-Z-E. And that particular double was designed by a company that intentionally took all the good parts of the doubles that were out there, kept those, and got rid of the bad parts and improved upon the design quite a bit. The placement of the Vibe insert is excellent. And when teamed with the WeVibe Tango Bullet Vibe, is really, really amazing. I'm going to put the link to those toys in the Linkorama for you. And then, you know, there's a whole bunch of harness choices as well. If you need some help figuring that out, I'd be happy to do that. All of the harnesses through Spare Parts and all of the harnesses through Aslan Leather will accommodate a double-ended dildo. So those are all fine. Just depends on what you and your partner like and what you want. So there you have it. Don't recommend the Fieldo. Definitely recommend the Fuse Tango. Thanks for the question, James. Here's my next letter. Hello, I purchased an Eneros Helix Sin and was wondering what lubricant you recommend for that. I know I've heard you mention some before, but I can't seem to find it now. Also, I'm hoping to get my wife to peg me soon, We have had the equipment for over a year, but it just hasn't happened yet. Would you recommend the same lubricant for both? The strap-on is a silicone starter type kit. Thanks for all the information you share. It's definitely helping me approach the wife with my desires. And this is from Mark. Mark, thank you so much for the question. Awesome idea to get that Helix in first and do a little self-play, because I absolutely recommend that for the receivers that are new to pegging. The best lube out there, pretty much, that I use exclusively for any and all play that requires any kind of lubrication, which is a lot of different kinds of play, is Slickwood Silk. And I'm going to put the link for that in the Linkorama, of course. But what it is it's a hybrid lube. It's 12% silicone and the rest is water-based. It's got some heft to it. It's got some cushion. So that's nice, because when you're doing pegging, that cushion really helps. And this 12% silicone helps it last longer, so you don't have to reapply it over and over and over again. I guarantee if you have good quality toys, which it sounds like you've got a decent silicone starter kit, probably Tantus or something, that it will not hurt the toy. I have used this lube for years and years, and it has not harmed a single one of the toys I play with, like never. And I have all really good quality toys, so I'm not making that promise to you who buy toys on Amazon for $12 or something, but it sounds like you will have no problem with this at all. And it's perfectly adequate, not just adequate, it's the best lube out there also for your Aneros Helix Sin. So that's like a dual purpose, just buy the one. And when you go to buy it, if you happen to see that there is an organic version of it, please don't buy that one. It's not that it's not a good lube, it's just not good for pegging, because it's got aloe vera in it, in the organic formula, and it tends to dry out, which is really what you do not want. I think it would be fine for a vaginal lube, because there's a certain amount of juiciness in a turned on vagina much of the time anyway. Nonetheless, it has absolutely been shown to not be so good for pegging. So don't get the organic kind, just get the regular kind. Slickwood Silk, and it comes in a purple bottle. Link for that will be in the Linkorama. And have fun. Let us know when it happens so I can play the music for you. You're a patient man if you've had that equipment for over a year. Good for you. I hope it happens for you too soon. Okay, here is my next letter. The title of this, I got this off the forum, was called More Information on Crying. I have heard you talk several times about crying as a response to prostate stimulation and pegging. I'm curious if this is the sort of thing that would happen even if you had done lots of self-play, or if it is mainly just for those who are having both first prostate play and first partner prostate play. I know this is kind of opposite of what is, quote, usual, end quote, but I think it might be nice in a way to be that emotionally open with my wife. But then again, I have done a lot of self-play, so I might have ruled that out, so to speak. This is a fascinating question, and the person who wrote this in is called Morgenstern. So, Morgenstern, this is really a fascinating question, because, you know, we don't know a whole lot about the emotional reaction. I've done some G-spot play on myself, and I don't tend to get the emotional reaction that I get with a partner. For me, and the only reason I'm telling you this is because, as most or many of you know, huge amount of similarities between G-spot and prostate. So when I'm just stimulating my own prostate, it feels amazing, but there's not that emotional component. The emotional component comes when someone else is doing it to me. And this is just off the top of my head. This is what it feels like to me. And so please, everybody else, write in with their own experiences. There's something about your partner there doing something to you that feels like they're just touching your emotional core. That's the best way that I can explain it. And that's what gets the emotional reaction from me. It's not a conscious thing. And it just kind of happens before I even think about it. So it's quite possible that when you start doing prostate stimulation, whether through fingers or toys or pegging, with a partner, that you might have that emotional reaction. And it's not always tears. Sometimes it's just feeling really, really emotional and almost tears. But yeah, tears are many times how it ends up, if you will. But I don't want you to think that you have to have tears. Sometimes it's just this overwhelming surge of emotion, but there's no tears. I think also that touching that emotional core type of feeling is very, very related to vulnerability. So I was actually delighted to read what you wrote here about, I think it might be nice in a way to be that emotionally open with my wife. I love that you said that. I totally love that you said that. Not all men feel that way. So I'm thrilled that you like that idea. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. I know men who are afraid of that and won't do pegging with their wives because they're kind of scared of being that emotionally open with their partner, which I feel is a little sad. I mean, we all make our choices. We all decide what to do and what not to do. But I think it's a beautiful thing that you want to be that emotionally open with her. Yay. So I don't think your self-play precludes the possibility that you may get emotional. But then again, remember, not all men get emotional. Some do, some don't. Just like not all G-spot owners get emotional. When I teach my class, I ask the question first, how many women in the room have had an emotional reaction to getting their G-spot stimulated? And about a third of the women in the room usually raise their hand. This is the only measure I have for you is that approximately, maybe, the same percentage of men would have that experience as well. So there you go. And it doesn't happen all the time or every time. Sometimes it doesn't happen for a while. Sometimes you get the pegging thing happening for a while, and then all of a sudden, one time. Very unplanned, very unpredictable. So that's the best answer I have for you. But I really welcome input from anyone and everyone around this. I'm curious to hear other stories and other ways of looking at it from whoever wants to contribute. So please do. Thank you for the question, Morgan Stern. That was an excellent one. Okay, here's another one that I got off the forum. The subject here is anal tail plugs. Ooh, doesn't that sound like a fun thing? Hey all, wonder if anyone can recommend where to purchase tail play anal plug sets from. My wife and I are very much into the pegging love, and since regularly listening to the pegging podcast, we have grown into some comfortable roles and explorations. The fox/wolf play is another aspect we wish to explore, where she becomes the alpha wolf and takes me from behind. The fox play is when she is the one teasing and playing the more submissive role. We would like a quality body-safe product, but our usual haunts for sex toys don't seem to offer them. Stumbled across this site, and it's called Love Plugs, and he put the link in here. Anyone have any knowledge in this area or can share some fun insight? Thanks in advance. So I took a look at the link that you had there, the Love Plugs, and they do seem to have a really nice selection. One of the things I was concerned about immediately, just from the description of the type of play that you guys are interested in, is something that would stay in, you know, that had a big enough differential between the neck of it, which should be quite slender, and the plug itself. So it was good to see that they had a number of different choices that fit your description of like wolf play or fox play that have different size plugs. And I took a quick look around on the internet, and the only other place I saw that had a fair amount of selection and looked to be decent quality was extremerestraints.com. They have a whole bunch of them, and they actually have some pretty big size plugs as well, you know, hence extreme, right? Extreme Restraints. So I'm going to put a link to that, and the link will just take you to, I put in the search, fur tails, I think. And they have a whole bunch of different selections from bunnies to all kinds of stuff. But the reason I thought you might be interested in that is they have a set of a wolf tail and then the ears, the fur ears too. So that might be kind of fun. I don't know if that's something that you're interested in or not, to sort of enhance the role play, if you will. It might be kind of fun. But if anybody else knows where you can get some cool ones, what I was actually looking for, which I did not find in fur tails, was I was looking for a set that was sort of interchangeable, that you could screw in the tails to a nice plug base so you could have, you know, the different fur tails, and depending on which one you wanted, you could screw that one in for the night. They do have those, but not with fur that I was able to find. They have them for like doggy tails and stuff like that, that are rigid and curved and kind of look like Pluto, if you will. Nonetheless, they are some really fun choices here. I kind of got lost looking at them for a little bit, so I'll put that link in the Linkorama. So when you're looking at these plugs, don't get the ones made from TPR. Don't get the ones that look kind of questionable. Stick to silicone or stainless steel or even aluminum would be fine as well. I saw some plugs in there that were aluminum. And pay attention to the size of the plug and make sure you get what you want. Okay, let us know what you get and how you like it. I just love the questions that I get from all of you people. I totally do. I never know what you're going to ask. All right, let's see what the next letter is here. Oh, this is a nice review of the Snug Plugs. Okay, so check this out. Hi, Ruby. There will be more info down the road, but I know enough that I want to share it with you. For your information, my other half is not into doing anything with my rear end, and I am approaching the topic carefully. She needs a lot of time to process anything new, and this is obviously out of her comfort zone. As such, my rear end play is solo and when she is out of town for business. I bought all four snug plugs for maximum options. I'm putting a condom on each snug plug using a bit of water-soluble lube inside and out, and I'm good. They slide in so comfortably, but stay in place, and it's just the right place. With a similar taper on the other end, they slide out easily when you want them to, but not before. The handle is unobtrusive and not even noticeable. The design is really good. The smallest, which is number one, is pretty subtle. I think it would be good for newbies and perhaps for me on a long drive. Snug plug number two is where things started happening. In the evening, I inserted it, and after wearing it for some time, I brought myself off. For the first time in a long while, I actually ejaculated something. There are obviously health benefits beyond the pleasure ones, so this is pretty exciting. In the morning, I used it again. I want to remove a normal butt plug as soon as I come. I came with number two snug plug inside, and then I dozed off. That's one heck of a difference. I have tried the number three and number four just to see if they fit, and they certainly do. She's out of town now, and I have been able to play again. In the shower yesterday, after having the number three snug plug inside, I brought myself off. Again, I ejaculated. Today, I inserted the number three snug plug and went for a walk of over 1 hour. I wore a pair of briefs, then a pair of cycling shorts, which have a nice thick pad, and then finally, dress-type shorts. I didn't want any problems to show. On the other hand, I was confident enough to go for a walk on a recreational path and through neighborhoods where there were no restrooms. The effect is exciting, but comfortable. It's sort of like my prostate is getting a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's noticeable, but does not prevent me from thinking about other things. Just knowing it's in there is a thrill. It really stays right where it should. If it feels like it might want to move down a little, a momentary clenching of the anal muscles takes care of it. Putting a condom on makes the cleanup so easy. Also, I suggest using just enough lube. You can always remove it and add more, or use a lube shooter, but using less lube seems to help it stay in place. I do hope to eventually use it when my girlfriend and I play, but for now, I am content to learn about it on my own. As I am writing this, my rear end is, parentheses, still very happily occupied. And Fred was the one who contributed this. Fred, how awesome that you bought all the whole set and then did this lovely review for us. I remember when the snug plug came out, it was probably you who were so excited about it because of the thin neck and how that bode well for longer-term wear because of the sensation of having to get it out right away after you come. Or just the distraction of having a thick neck as opposed to just prostate stimulation, which it sounds like these plugs are quite good at. Yay. So thanks so much for sending that in. And I did not see any kind of write-up on number 4, so please feel free to add that to the collection of comments when you have your next opportunity to play and you check out number 4. I would agree with your assessment that you're getting more prostate stimulation because you did ejaculate something. That means the prostate's getting stimulated enough to where it's actually producing prostatic fluid or a sufficient amount of it where you are ejaculating something. And I would bet it's prostatic fluid primarily. I mean, that's just one component of ejaculate, but still, I would totally agree with your assessment that it's great for your prostate because you ejaculated when you don't normally. So yay. Great design, Alicia of B-Vibe. Excellent plugs. Woohoo. Okay, thanks again, Fred. Here's my next letter. I would like to start by saying that my wife attended one of your webinars about a month ago, and it has been very helpful for both of us. I have some questions about toys, and rather than ask for random advice from people on forums or what have you, I thought I would seek your advice. We currently use either a Vixen Mistress or a Real Dose Slim. The Vixen I really enjoy and is far more comfortable for her to use. The Real Dose was a bit of a mistake. While the realism is actually a pretty big turn-on for me, its stiffness leaves a little to be desired. Not to mention it's not all that easy or comfortable for her to use even with a harness. I've been looking at toys for months and have been eyeing the Vixen Mustang. The realism ticks my box, and since it's a regular strap, ticks her ease of use. My question is the dual density worth it or no? Also, I have some concerns on size. I'm not sure of your experience with this particular toy, but I always have a hard time gauging size from descriptions. Is it much bigger than the Mistress or Real Dough? Are there better slash other options I should look into for something realistic, looking slash feeling? Thank you for reading this, and again, thank you for hosting the webinar. It's pretty great that there is someone out there offering a service like that for newbies. Thanks. Well, okay, I actually have the Vixen Mistress. That's a perfect starter size. And the Real Dose Slim is slender as well. I recall the Mustang is significantly bigger. Let me check the measurements here, because I know the Vixen's like 6 1/4 long, 1 1/4 wide. Not sure about the Real Dose Slim, but pausing for just a moment, this is exactly what I was talking about with the Real Dose Field Dose. The rigidity leaves something to be desired. It really does. It's the stiffness that doesn't work for people. But leaving that alone and talking about the Vixen Mistress in comparison to the Mustang. So here's the comparison, basically. The Mistress is their regular firm silicone, so it's rather a firm silicone toy. It's not rigid or hard or anything, but it's firm silicone. And I mentioned the measurements, 6 1/4 long by 1 1/4 in diameter. So here is how the Mustang differs. It's just 1/4 inch longer, it's 6 1/2 long, but the diameter is 1 5/8 inches. Now, normally, what I recommend people do when they start going up in size is go no more than 1/4 inch. Now, this is like 1/8 inch more than 1/4 inch if you're with me here, because instead of being 1 1/2 inches, which would be 1/4 inch up from your Mistress, it's 1 5/8, so you've got an extra 1/8 inch. I don't think if you are ready to size up, this is going to be a problem, and here's why I don't think so. It's because the Mustang does have that a little more squishiness, if you will. The dual density, you ask, is it worth it? There's really no way for me to answer that question because dual density is something that some people love and other people, it's not that big of a deal. It was created, that whole concept of having the softer outer layer and then the inner rigid core for functionality was created to mimic a real cock. So it's squishier, it's not as firm. If you have a prostate that needs a whole lot of stimulation, then you should stick to the really firm and perhaps even curved models of dildos. But if your prostate does not need that intense a stimulation, I think that you would really like the Mustang. The people who have the Vixskin models, which is their brand name for the dual density dildos, rave about them. They totally do. And you know what? The Vixen Creations has a lifetime guarantee on their dildos. Swear to God, how do you beat that? So I do think that as long as you're not someone who really struggles to take a little bit more, like, say, you know, if she put two fingers in you and her two fingers was a little bit wider, are you someone that kind of freaks out about that and you have to go really, really, really slow and open up really, really, really slowly every time? If you're not that, I think the Mustang would be fantastic. Because, yes, it ticks off your box of realism. And also, the added fun thing is there's a suction cup on the bottom, so that would be totally cool. That opens up a whole bunch of possibilities. Every time I hear about a suction cup bottom on a dildo, I think this. Well, that's awesome for self-play, for shower, or any smooth surface, really, that's smooth enough to hold that suction cup. But then I default to wild things, because that's how my mind works. And if you are someone who is flexible enough to get up on your kitchen countertop or your kitchen table, if it's sturdy enough, and put on a show for your lovely partner, you could do this as well. Or for that matter, she could use it as well. So yes, lots of possibilities. This is an excellent toy that you're considering, and I think that it will serve you well. The only other options that you might want to consider looking at might be the dildos over at the New York Toy Collective. They have some lovely realistic ones, and in particular, there's one called the Shiloh, and the measurements of the Shiloh are 6 1/4 inches in length and 1 1/2 inches in diameter. So that would be exactly that 1/4 inch step up from what you have now. If you take a look at that one and compare it to the Mustang and the pros and cons, New York Toy Collective definitely charges more for theirs, so it's going to cost you a pretty penny. It is poseable, however. It actually, you can curve it, so she can wear it under her clothes and tuck it in between her legs, and she can be packing. Or you can bend it a little bit and use that bend to target the prostate. It's got a bit of a more pronounced head to it. That might be something you like, something you don't. It does not have a suction cup bottom, but they do sell like a double suction cup, you know, one right up against the other that will transform any of their dildos into one that can be stuck to a surface if that's something that appeals to you at all. But they make really, really good toys. Oh, and the only other thing that I noticed is that it comes in a wider variety of really fun colors. But since you're looking at realism, that probably isn't something that makes a difference to you. So yeah, that's the only other place I'd suggest taking a look at is the New York Toy Collective, and I will put the link to the Shiloh in the Linkorama for you. And then right on the heels of this question, which thank you so much for sending that in and asking my advice, I'm honored to answer your questions, absolutely, and I'm so glad that your wife got a lot out of the webinar. I love doing those webinars, I totally do. And here's another person. Hi, Ruby. I attended your seminar a little while back, and I was looking at a dildo on Love Honey. It is PVC, but phthalate-free. The brand is King Cock. I know silicone toys are the best, but this one seems very realistic, and my husband is wanting to get into that. What are your thoughts? Is this a bad toy? Thanks. Signed by Valpo Vixen. So, Valpo Vixen, yes, that's a sucky toy. That is a bad toy. You do not want to put PVC things in your body. Not good. And Love Honey in general is, as we discovered a few podcasts back, not really a good place to buy toys. They actually still sell jelly toys with phthalates. And remember, even though it says phthalate-free, it might not be, because packaging doesn't have to be honest in this world of sex toys. So although it will definitely cost you more than the King Cock, take a look at the two options that we were just talking about for the letter writer that I just finished with before this one. Take a look at Vixen Creations and see if you like the ones that they have there that are realistic looking. You can also take a look at the New York Toy Collective links. interestingly enough, I kind of got lost over at the New York Toy Collective website because I started looking around and they have some new stuff, which I want to tell you guys about. But since you are looking at this one called King Cock, I'm thinking you probably are looking at a bigger one. You don't mention the measurements that you were looking at. However, the Shiloh at New York Toy Collective is 6.5 long, and then it's 1.5 wide. But they also have one that is much longer. And I was excited to find this. It is 1.5, so it's not really good for beginners. However, for people who have been doing pegging a while, it's a much longer one as well. So for those of you who really like length out there, or you have lovely big butts and big bellies, 8 inches long, people, 1.5 in diameter. It's really cool. So again, it doesn't fit the specifications for beginners who are big, beautiful people. However, this is 8 inches long. I'm totally excited when I found that. And this one's called the Mason. So I'll put the link to that as well. So check out those two because no, King Cock sucks. It's bad. It's no. And, you know, I don't want to diss on the toy choice, but at the same time, yeah, PVC, no. Get something better and check out those different options and then go from there. So what products on the New York Toy Collective am I excited about? Well, they have some butt plugs. And part of the reason I'm excited about these butt plugs is that they look like they're designed really well, but they're really reasonably priced. Particularly the one that I wrote and asked them a question about. It's a new one. They have a whole line of them. Two were vibrating and two were not. But the one that really caught my eye is called the Ace of Spades. So if you picture a spade, just like a spade on a playing card, okay? And you make it 3D, so you make it kind of puffy. And then at the bottom of it, there's this wonderfully designed, I believe they call it like a banana tail. But it's quite similar to the shape of the base of the snug plugs from B-Vibe, okay? But the thing is this is like a 3D thing. So if you picture a 3D spade and you picture that going in your ass, it is different depending on how you turn it. But of course, how it's going to be turned is controlled by where the tail nestles between your butt cheeks, right? So when it's in there and those two little wings on the base of it that they call a banana tail go up and down, it holds the spade in the plane of having the most width up and down toward your prostate, basically, or toward your G-spot. So I got really excited about this. They have two different sizes. One is maximum girth 1.5 inches and 3 inches of insertable. That's the medium. And then the large is 2 inches at maximum girth and 4 inches insertable length. So that's a pretty hefty plug. And I wrote them and said, so is this kind of the shape of it, like a 3D spade? Because they have a picture of a hand holding it, but I just wanted to make sure. And they said, oh yeah, absolutely. And it's intentionally made that way to stimulate the prostate and G-spot. They did say, if you're looking for prostate stimulation, then probably this one or the other one that's a vibe one are your best ones. Now, the bottom design on this looks as if it can be worn sitting down, worn walking, that kind of thing. Well, certainly the one with the vibe insert doesn't. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But like this plug that I'm talking to you about, it's only $34.99. Holy crap. And they talk about if you want to get both sizes, the medium and the large, you can save 10%. So I just got all excited about this just because it's a very innovative shape. And because of the recent thing that we found out about that small neck allows for more relaxation and potentially better prostate stimulation. So the other one they offer that they recommended for prostate stimulation is called the Curly Q. And it's a somewhat typical prostate massager type of plug. It comes in just one size. It's got 5 inches of insertable length, and it's got a couple of waves and curves in it. And it's 1.5 inches at girth. It does require batteries, AAA batteries, but it's 100% silicone. And it could be nice, you know. It's certainly not something you can walk around with, is not what I'm seeing. And I don't, because the vibe has to go in there, so the neck and differential between the plug itself and the neck is not that pronounced. But it could be a great one. And then that particular plug is only $34.99. They've really got some great prices here for these. The other thing that I noticed while I was there kind of intrigued me. We've talked about this once a long time ago because somebody was saying, you know, one of the things that they really like is the swinging of the balls, right? The feeling of being sort of slapped with the swinging of the balls. And there's, a couple of different places that have this. Well, so the New York Toy Collective is one place that has something of this sort, and it's called a love bump, okay? I think I've talked about it before, but they make it such that there's a small little vibe insert, and it's actually a rechargeable vibe insert, and it does fit so that it swings, and you can actually use it over just about any dildo. It works with all of theirs, and it said it'll accommodate most dildos, but there's enough of a heft to the balls themselves, so they do, like, swing. And if you put the vibe in there, they vibrate too, which is pretty damn cool. And they come in different colors and everything. And it just, I guess, provides one more point of sensation, if you will. Because if you're doing that, then depending on the position, you could be fucking doggy style. And you could be having that go against the taint, you know, and just like one more point of stimulation and a different kind of stimulation because you have a little bit of vibration on the outside as well. So it says it's great for strap-on sex and that, and this is funny, it says, let your most lavish ball-slapping fantasies come true. So I just wanted to tell you guys about that because it just seems like a fun toy. Oh, and it can also be used as a silicone cock ring. Check that out. There you go. So there you have it. See, I told you I kind of got lost on the New York Toy Collective website. They have some beautiful toys there. They really do. So you'll find the link for all of those things in the Linkorama. Absolutely. And the last thing I'm going to read for you here is just a really quick thing that is the kind of thing that just makes my day when you guys take the time to send stuff like this, no matter how short. The subject said thanks, and all it says is, just want to say thank you for your work. Amazing and so good, Nikki. Nikki, thank you. It's nice to be appreciated. It really, really is. So thanks for writing that in and letting me know. Okay, upcoming webinar. The last webinar of the year is Saturday, November 17th at 10 in the morning, Pacific time. And after that, I'm taking a break until the new year. All the proceeds of this last webinar will go to the Movember cause. Now, normally people get into the webinar free. Most people do. Occasionally people will buy a ticket because they don't feel like they need to have a free ticket. Because remember, the givers get in free. And the receivers are asked for a $15 donation. And if that would stop them from attending, I'm happy to give them a free ticket too. When you get the tickets, even if you get in free as a giver, there is an option there to donate. So anything that you donate for this last webinar of the year is absolutely going to go to the cause of the Movember thing that I'm doing until the end of November. And in my holiday break, I'll be working on those other webinars for you guys as well. So I think that's it for this time. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. You can also go to pegging101.com, where you'll find informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. And if you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, please remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your entire purchase. Send your questions to Ruby at peggingparadise.com. No question is too fascinating, too fixated, or too... It's always the third one that I get caught on, you know, that doesn't come up in my brain. Or too funny. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.